They keep the pulse on a culture that is revolutionizing the world. The other scribes of hip-hop, keepers of the flame eternally in their hands, demystifying the soul. They seem to be the only ones who know what the hell is going on. There are DJ King Killer, your boy Kurt G, and E. Green.
So those same people who are, you know, flipping through and they're watching Fox News and they're watching CNN and they're watching MSNBC and they're being told how popular the president is and all of that stuff. Then they flip a few channels over to BET and they watch You Act Like Idiots. And that's all they see. They only see you acting like idiots. And you can get mad if you want. You can go, that's the media. Okay. Yeah, it's the media, but they're still watching you act like idiot. And every week there's somebody new on television acting like an idiot. And they look like you and they dress like you and they talk like you. The interesting thing when you talk about the media and 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 they making us look bad. One, please take responsibility for yourself, because, you know, those are real black people up there looking bad.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E. Green, and we're all in the building today.
All
what's
in
up,
together
y'all?
Now.
That's
make
what's
it
up.
More better now.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the Hip Hop Digest Show. Before we get started, I want to give a quick update. A couple of weeks ago, what's that, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was in Vegas, my man Swerving.
Yes, sir.
And whatnot. And of course, you know, he made his exit out of the country. And so I started
with world premiering and shit all over the place.
Yeah, no doubt. So I did the things I usually do in Vegas. So I hit the streets or whatever. But I do want to give a record store update. Vegas Vinyl. There's Vegas Vinyl up on Sunset. You remember that by the airport?
Yeah.
Forget about it.
What happened?
It's gone?
No, it's still there. But I think the original kid sold it. I ain't even gonna lie. It looked like a couple of rednecks up in there. It was Punk Central. No hip hop, little African. Well, they have African American music, but very, you know, not like your boy had it. So he looked like he sold his business, and so he's out, and so some new owners, it's not really digging. I did buy two Weather Report albums I was looking for out of there, though. I will admit that the third one they actually had, but the price is a little too high for me. But Vegas Vinyl, forget about it.
That's the one that's closest to here.
That's
where I live
yep,
to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I need to just slide through there.
Yeah, go peep
but
it.
If not, I'll just go back to the other one over on North Vegas or the one downtown.
Yeah. So go peep it, but you'll see the change in there. So anyway.
But I'm still not going back to that other one.
Oh, Nick. Yeah, that's my
they
man.
Know they know better.
They know better.
Yes, the no better store.
Yeah. Oh, that one. I didn't even hit that one this
I'm
go
not
around.
Going back there.
Nah, they got some. They got, if you dig, they got some good joints in there.
Yeah, but them prices.
That's for the new shit. I'm talking about the shit that's on the floor.
Okay.
But anyway, so I do what I usually do, whatever. I'm out hitting the streets. Was in the streets. Was in crazy North Vegas. I'm going to say it again. It was hood. I mean, I could even say it was crazy hood, but I don't know. It's West Coast hoods, to me, maybe it's just because it's just not as compact as East Coast hoods. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's a whole different, as a bi-coastal, and I did say bi-coastal, you get to see it. And
I was in
seeing LA versus even Vegas is not even close to a.
I was in some real hard body hardcore casinos or whatever, and I was like, yo, it's hood in here. All right, I just was sightseeing.
You was on them off strip joints.
Oh man, I was way off the strip. I'm talking about
the local spots.
Yeah, you was at the spots the only niggas that live here go to.
I mean, because when you on Las Vegas Boulevard, it's like you're now entering the city of North Las Vegas. It's a whole different jurisdiction, my G. So yeah, for the strip. Yo, so
you heading out toward the desert.
Yeah, me, I'm saying. But in any case, but I did, you know, I'm saying my regular, you know, Vegas street runs or whatever, learned a little bit more about the city. I can generally drive around Vegas without GPS almost. So I'm getting there.
He's almost a local.
Yeah, this nigga here, he be outside. He hit Vegas and act like he home.
So no doubt. So anyway, that's what's up. That's
all right, nigga. I mean, since you know did your travels, I'm gonna say,
nigga, say don't forget about me, nigga. I'm on a world tour.
You put it out there like man. That. You know what I'm saying?
I was interrupted.
He's about to serve you up a nice one.
Yeah.
Is that what's about to happen?
Yeah.
I thought it was next.
He's like, nigga,
on the hip hop died. Yes.
Yeah, you felt like he was about to just rob him.
And then Kurt G, what's up, nigga?
All right, son. There's a lot of buses on this show tonight.
There's a bus coming later. I got the last bus.
So, Swerve, tell us about your out of the country experience, G.
Oh, so on zeros and fives, I try to celebrate that bigger than I do on the regulars, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a trip to somewhere in the world on those birthdays. And this year it was Thailand, but not the mainland,
but Thailand,
island off the coast of Thailand called Koh Samui, which was fly as a mother sucker. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can say. It was super fly, being over there in that environment and that kind of stuff. So it was a mostly birthday / anniversary because, you know, it's been a year. So we celebrated all of that shit and was there for a week. It felt like a month, honestly, the way things were going, but it was a week. It was a great week. It was great to get out of the country and see other things. But as soon as I got back, I had a shoot out to LA for a baby shower. So that was awesome. We'll get into whose it was and all that kind of stuff later because, you know, that's their business. But it was a beautiful day. I drove out that mug, and actually it was great to be going against the traffic, because the traffic, we left like mad early Sunday morning, because, you know, everybody's leaving Vegas at that time. But we got out before that, and then on that same day, it was a turnaround. We left probably like 4 or 5 o'clock. So on the way back, we were seeing all this traffic coming out of LA, coming out of Vegas, going back to LA. It was crazy, yo, to see all those lights just for miles. I don't know how people do it. If I had to go that way, I would have flown, be real talk, because there's no way that I would have been able to sustain a stable mind in that shit. All
right.
But overall, it was a great, whole great situation.
All right, that's what's up. All right, so G.
Oh shit, I had a short trip. I had a day trip, a daycation, with me and wifey for our anniversary. And what I did was, Herb sent a pic of him being out there in Thailand and shit, laid the fuck up doing what he do. I'm like, nigga got his toes out and shit.
Infinity pool and
right,
shit.
Nigga, this nigga out here. So I'm like, shit, I could do that too, nigga. I'm out here. I'm outside.
Yes, sir.
Me and wifey on a budget type shit.
Oh, my goodness. So was I. All right.
She found some shit on Groupon. And we ended up out an hour and a half from the crib out. What part of Maryland is that? But it's out over the Bay Bridge. And we was out at a resort hotel. I didn't even know they had shit like that in Maryland. But, yeah, we had this resort hotel, shit, Hyatt. And you can go for the day and you can sit around the pool and enjoy all the amenities and shit while you're there. It looked like a damn resort. It really did. And we was there for pretty much the whole day. We was there, got there around 11 and left around 8, 9 that night. We thought about staying at the hotel, but for $4.50 a night, we was not doing that.
Woo.
So we said, you know what? Fuck it. We driving back home.
Damn it, man.
Damn it, man. I ain't got it like that.
All right, that's what's up.
I caught an inn down the street, came back the next day.
So, I wasn't staying at the inns. I'm like, fuck that. I done got too bougie for the inns, my nigga.
Oh, my goodness.
You talking about a hood nigga that done got too bougie, but I have.
All right. So thank you for listening to Old Man Radio and shit. You know what I mean? Nigga's been out of the picture for a while. Let's just get right in. We normally would not cover this, but I got a few questions. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest, there's no way we will be covering Young Thug. But I got some questions. Young Thug receives disappointing first week sales projections for UY Scooty. Now, your first question is, you know, damn. Why? UY Scooty? Where have I heard that before? and shit. Oh, it's the actual one of the largest suns. It's a red giant, you know, ever discovered and shit. You know what I mean? They're like, you can throw, you know, like a billion of our suns into this sun. That's how big it is. So I don't know why he named that, but I guess
I don't know why you're doing hand motions back there.
It's part of his storytelling.
So anyway, so he names the album UY Scooty, which is actually one of the largest suns in out there.
You did a history lesson for some people. They probably didn't know what the fuck that was.
Science.
Yeah, I mean, I know I heard that before and shit. So anyway, but the question is, well, that's one question. I wonder why he named it that. And the second question is, because there's nothing that is shocking anymore. I mean, we're beyond, I believe in humanity, we're beyond the world of being shocked. This nigga album cover, he's lightened. He looked like Sammy Sosa on the cover.
Oh, that's what that pic was.
Yeah.
I saw that picture and I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, he looked like Sammy Sosa on the cover with blue eyes. Okay. So that's the next question. And then, now, of course, I spent zero time other than listening to other podcasts where they play a snippet of him saying, not nigga, but nigger with the hard ER over and over again. So I guess my first question is to you gentlemen, if you are a Young Thug fan, and you're not, but I'm thinking if you're a Young Thug person, are you saying this is genius? He's got motherfuckers outraged. But I don't see a lot of people outraged. Most people, the consensus is he's playing himself. But if you're a Thug fan.
The fans were, I did see that. And I know we weren't talking about it, but I looked at the comments and there were a lot of people supporting that album. There were a lot of people supporting it, so I'm surmising that those are his fans. But that hard R, even from a black person, just repeatedly like that was a bit much. But.
Okay, so he debuted at 48,000 copies. It was a lead balloon amongst know rappers
in today's numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. When, okay. unfortunately, Cardi B's doing plus 200,000. So yeah,
but that's not for the music.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter. She's not an MC neither. And I don't consider Thug MC.
That's, she's bringing, that's her personality and all that other bullshit.
Yeah, but I'm just, that's the social media shit that's coming.
Yeah, but he's a part of that whole shit anyway, B. Yeah, let's not true. Act that's like true. He ain't.
Yeah, that's, no that's why he's no dressed doubt. Up in the white face, I guess.
Ooh. Well, yeah, all right.
So, Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, B, you the nigga look like that Sammy Sosa shit, nigga.
That's that AI work.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck what it is, B. I don't give a fuck what it is. And number two, well, so that was the first question. The second question is there room? Because, you know, of course, I'm remembering the mistakes of our generation or maybe some of our artists. The most famous, obviously, we always talk about it on the show, Big Daddy Kane and his chocolate boy. The chocolate lover, Madonna, the whole thing around the album rollout. And from our generation, B, he was summarily dismissed.
Yeah.
Is there room for that in this generation, Kurt G?
I'm going to say right now, there's plenty of room for that because niggas be doing the wildest shit. But for him, personally, it's not the time for him to even be trying no shit like that because he's got all this other shit going on around him. He's got the snitching shit going on with him right now. He's got niggas starting to turn their back on him right now. So he's I guess he's just doing anything, i.e. what Cardi did to try to make her album roll out, doing just whatever, going out in the streets and talking to whoever this, that, and the third. So he's just basically trying to follow suit in his own little corny way of putting on some hard R shit and thinking that was funny, but niggas didn't find it funny.
Mm.
So he's winning.
He is winning. Now, that's where I was going to get to. No matter what, in this generation, all news is good news, whether it's bad or good. If you, that's getting clicks, that's getting views, which equals money in this generation.
All right. All right. Well, I don't think he's winning. Why not?
What is okay? So we know what winning is to this generation. How do you say he's not winning?
Well, now I'm going to listen carefully because Kerji just said he's like, in this generation, it, good news, bad news, or otherwise, it's a win. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that he doesn't win because 48K for this generation is woeful. Okay.
Is that album sales or streams?
No, they said that's a combo of streams and fit. Yeah, B. It's a combo. That's not just
that
stream.
Hard to believe because I was listening to that hard R. So that's a stream, ain't it? I mean, I only listened one time, but that's a stream, right?
B, 48,000.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. And the article did say, and that is a combination of physical streaming and other means. So he's...
That's terrible.
B, he's not winning. He's not winning.
No, he get 48,000 streams in a... The hour.
See, that's what I'm saying, B.
So basically, the conspiracy theorists are jumping up out of their seats right now saying, see, Young Thug is being punished for saying that he bought those streams and made Gunna number one. So we're going to punish you by taking away your streams. You might have done 148, but we're only going to give you 48 of those.
Mm.
Kurt and that goddamn curtain.
We're gonna punish you, nigga, for trying to pull back the curtain on our shit.
All right. All right. Well, good riddance anyway. Doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter whether he gets one stream.
Yeah, good riddance.
It ain't over.
Nah,
good riddance.
Going nowhere.
Okay. Or would have been over.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this is not Young Thug related, but maybe an addendum too, is and we've been talking about this for a little while, not even so much music related, but is the jail nigga narrative waning? Your boy E. Color sent a couple of clips over, some Yumbos talking about, you know, regular African-Americans, Yumbos, but saying regular African-American Yumbos who are just solid citizens who don't want to be involved in a jail nigga or otherwise criminal nigga narrative.
They want to be down with the YN shit.
Okay, YN shit. Basically, yeah, they don't really want to be down with that YN shit. I will offer a word of caution as we get into that topic, but is that something that could possibly take place? I've been on that crucible all the way back to the Stop Snitching t-shirts.
Betting on gangster.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been a long time that I'm just like wondering, why are the jail narrative seemingly up front, seemingly, but regular working niggas, you know.
Well, there's narratives, B.
Okay.
And we don't even have to go without no lanes like that, but we do know that there are narratives, right? So I am sure there is a segment of the young bull population that's like tired of that shit, like for real. But until they understand the pathway to getting all that kind of stuff, you know, pushed to the side, because they ain't never going nowhere, but it'll get pushed to the side, is when you make these I'm gonna say feelings, for lack of a better word, known. And when we still have people doing the dances with those songs playing and all that kind of stuff, it's just not going to go away. So I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. It's just getting noticed now more.
I will caution a young bull. One of the young bulls, as he's expressing his feelings, was like, you know, jail niggas is about to learn. He jumped on that Trump sending the troops in.
Oh, CNN.
And see, I was like, I gave him a little pass because I know his youthful exuberance.
Right. He don't know the real facts.
Exactly.
He don't know. It don't matter.
If you don't know, you don't know.
So
he'll be in that net.
Right. So the youthful exuberance, and I say this for the show, but I'm sure most of our listeners already understand that, is that you can't count on yourself acting like I'm just a regular cat when somebody who don't care about your humanity is sending in troops.
All niggas is the same.
Back to my famous, or at least not my famous, but what I always say, you could have three generations of African-American men in the car, and all three of us want to hear something different on the radio, but if a cop pulls us over, we all got the same problem.
Yep.
Okay, now I think that's what the young bull need to realize. Don't run headlong into the arms of those folk thinking they gonna love you, okay? Mm-hmm. I know it's difficult dealing with our brothers and sisters who are on the other side of the law and who may want to take you as a punk, you know what I'm saying? But those are our relatives and uncles and aunties, and on some level, there's a humanity there, all right? Them other folk, there is none, not towards you. So just be careful, young blood. Be very careful.
Slippery slope there, right?
Yes, sir.
But the thing is, it's a slope there, but you don't know it's a slope. See, when you say that ignorance. That ignorance is where you're riding with what they're doing, but you don't know that they look at you the same as they look at that nigga.
Yes, sir.
They don't look at you any different.
Yes, sir.
From your eyes, you two niggas couldn't be any different. You're yin and yang. You're like, nigga, I'm here. This nigga's over here. In their eyes, nigga, you on the same plate.
But what's happening is they're not paying attention, because if we look at the Mexicans and the other foreign folks that are here getting snatched up, it doesn't matter if you are coming out of your school, church. They're not just going to the old block. They're not just going to go to old block. First, they're going to be downtown Chicago because they already are.
Well, you know what? But that's Kurt G's lesson, though. And I give Kurt G a shout out because, you know, I was ignorant enough to think that, you know, once they start snatching Spanish folks up, they're going to tear the country up. And Kurt G was like, no, they not. Because they were under the assumption, I'm not like them niggas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They ain't coming for me. They coming for them illegal niggas. Right.
Guess what, though? You coming out of the grocery store, you in the net.
Yep.
And you look just like them niggas.
Yep.
Yep.
So, all right. So that's what's good, yo. So shout out to these young bulls who may be wanting to, you know, change the paradigm. I'm with you in heart, but there is a very lesson to, there's a very good lesson to learn. So watch yourself. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. DJ Academics says broke rappers.
Oh my goodness.
And you can tell they broke because they're all running to the podcast space.
Oh my goodness.
And summarily through, and I'll name the rappers, but not limited to Jim Jones, Dave East, Fabulous, and Mano, who now have a podcast called Artist to Artists, saying you could tell that there's no room for any type of rap. Rap is pretty much summarily dead when you got these guys running to the podcast space.
And I think they think it's an easy run. That's what I think it is.
Right. I think that Ack is probably right on the assumption that out of all those artists, only Fabulous probably has a catalog that he can make money off of. I don't give a fuck how much shit Jimmy talk, and that's all he do is talk. That's part of his plot and trade. You think Dave East and Mano doing shows of any kind?
Not where they got a whole concert. Nah, them niggas going to do a couple songs and be on somebody else's bill.
That's what I'm saying, and I think, and I don't agree with Ack on 99.9% of his perspective, but I think his perspective is right. And not disrespecting your perspective, because you're right too. They see it as, that's where the dough is. So we're going to go buy some cameras and set up and whatever. And we're going to invite cats up there. Ain't no money. B, there's no money in, and I say this, from the commercial space, that sort of middle class commercial space rapper, because see, that's where to me Mano, Davies kind of were like this middle class. They would flash money and would have some money, but in this world, unless you Cardi B, Drake, or unless you are underground, pushing your own vinyl, that type of thing. And those are two different paychecks, but that's where the money is. Nobody is going to buy a ticket to see Davies.
See,
nobody's going to pay money to see Mano. Nobody.
Mano might smack you, better watch out.
He might.
Like you hand to God.
He might, but I'm just saying. And then he'd be, you know what I'm saying? Then he'd just be mad. Man and unsatisfied.
Well, B, to me, I got two questions. Not questions.
Okay.
I got two things that I see when I looked at this. First of all, you said act, right?
Oh, he's an ass bucket.
Right, exactly.
Okay, no
doubt.
So
when you said act, said this, I said, first I was like, oh, that nigga just mad because he sees niggas, more niggas joining his side of the town. That's what he makes his money off of. And the more these niggas come in, the more it's like you feel like he's being crowded out. There's more noise being made in this space that he lives in. And he's got, it's more than enough niggas over here. Y'all niggas go do something else. Why y'all got to come over here? Type of shit. But then I'm thinking what Irv is saying, like, yeah, these niggas, this is the new easy money route. I'm seeing Fat Joe. I'm seeing niggas I know out here making money doing this. I know these niggas. I got industry connections. I know people in the industry. I can get people up here to come talk to us. We can do this too. So this the new easy money run. I get them on that part. But to me, all of this shit is as a result of the 360 deal fucking everybody over. Ain't nobody making no money. This 360 deal made sure that labels get paid off of every and single everything you do. I don't give a fuck. Even if you start a podcast, nigga, you gonna have to give them money if you under a deal.
Yeah, but that would be true if you were under a 360 deal. I don't see any of those four people being under any deals.
No, I'm saying this is a result of that because niggas have to go find money elsewhere because they don't want to be involved in this 360 shit.
Swerve, what would those cats have to say that would be interesting? And it is particularly three of the four that I would not be interested in hearing what they got to say because I'm sure it is cock ignorance. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
Well, let's just say it is cock ignorance. there's an audience.
Somewhere
for
I
that.
Hear Dip saying pause.
Yeah, they can say what they want, but yes, that, but there's an audience for that. Believe it or not, there's an audience for that. Somebody wants to hear what Mano has to say about people he's slapped or disrupting Lil Kim's day or whatever. People want to hear that shit, B. So, again, remember when you hear, remember the theme? Lowest common denominator. No,
yeah, low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit, B. You may not care about what three or four of those guys say, but there is an audience for that, or they wouldn't be doing it. Now, here's the real question, though. How long would that audience stay with them?
There you go.
Because how many times can you talk about I slap so-and-so? How many times can you do that?
So, lowbrow.
It's lowbrow. Everybody's not. I know a lot of New Yorkers are similar, and they all have, they're great at telling stories and funny when they're even not trying to be funny. But everybody's not Fat Joe. Everybody's not Jada Kiss, where they can just get up here and start talking and they don't care what they're talking about. Them niggas is just going to have you interested in hearing what they got to say. Everybody doesn't have their type of personalities.
So the individuals involved, people generally would want to hear Jimmy talking about the earliest days of Harlem. Cam, Mace, Big L, that. People would like to hear Jim talk about that. People only want to hear Jim talk about Jim, which would piss him off. because they want to hear about the earliest days of Harlem, which in which to be real, to be 100, Jim was a young bull when Big L and all them was doing their thing. And by the time Children in the Corn came around, you know what I'm saying? He was actually being taught by Mace. I mean, so, but people want to hear about that. People want to hear about that
be
earliest.
Be careful giving them content. Be careful.
But I'm just saying, I don't know what they would want to hear about from Dave East. I know he used to be an athlete, maybe. Okay, but then that is a podcast worth, maybe. Again, Fabulous is the only one with a discernible catalog and the MC chops to really, you know.
What's that got to do with, see, because see.
And Mano. Okay, so
wait. Their personality is what's going to drive the podcast, such as Cam and Mace. Their personalities drive their podcast.
Yeah, but Cam and Mace let their personalities drive the podcast. That's what I'm saying. Mano is, again, if you got a hard question or you back and forth with Mano at the podcast, maybe you're going to want to throw hands.
He will get clicks and views.
And then Jimmy, another one who talk, you know, want to be koofy slapping, you know.
He just got in another fight at an airport again just recently.
Okay, but I'm just saying, so you got that aspect of it. Davies, I don't know, he ain't going to want nobody to punk him. And I'm not saying that Jada and Fat Joe and Cam and Mace and Joe Budden, all these people, what they got, which none of these four or the three of the four, to me, they have a certain amount of professionalism. They have a certain amount of professionalism. That's why their shows look better. They come off better. They sound better. You see Jim as professional.
I was smiling about Cam. Right, but, like professional. I'm like,
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But it's a whole different level with him. But see,
right,
maybe,
no
this,
doubt.
This is a part that you're. You maybe you can't see it.
Okay.
And maybe you don't understand it. And I wouldn't see it either. But my wife, my son, they. On the social media feeds, and even if I'm not trying to hear, their phone is out and it's loud, and you hear the bullshit that's happening on the phone. It's the ignorant shit, it's the dumb shit that gets the most views. So the niggas you talking about that's on some ignorant shit, the more ignorant shit that they do, the better. The more clicks they're going to get.
So at the dawn of their podcast, there is a possibility. You're saying there is a possibility that they could blow heavy. Because the fireworks or the ignorance that could come from that podcast could be exponential.
All they need is a couple viral moments, B, and that's it. And they're in.
Yes, but is it sustainable?
It's not sustainable. It's never sustainable unless you got to keep doing dumb shit in order to sustain it. You got to get dumber and dumber or continue to run around slapping niggas, which is not good for your fucking life expectancy to start slapping niggas. Because one of these niggas is going to slap back with more than their hands.
All right. Okay. All right. So I guess I'll size it up. And let me say, I'm not a supporter of ACK. Again, he's 99.9%, you know.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
All right, my man. And these cats, I don't, you know, man, it is. Whew. Boy, that's a hard bunch right there, man.
I don't see that. Doing too much. I don't want to talk bad, but I would like to see how long that or how it starts and how long
now,
it
see,
lasts.
See that now let me go ahead and come through with this part. Even though I know this if you're betting on this, you're probably not gonna make no money, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Maybe niggas is gonna come through with cautionary type tales. Living that koofy slapping, living that smacking niggas with the hand of God shit is not a good thing. For you young boys out here trying to get these views off of doing stupid shit, you need to go ahead and clean your shit up. But I know they're not going to go that route, but that would be nice to see them try to turn some other niggas around.
All right. Well, indeed. We guess we can always hope. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is... I have no more topics.
What are we doing now? What are we doing right now? Then?
We're freestyling.
First up, I believe that's me.
Well, we can talk about that other thing I sent to you guys earlier today.
What was that?
The Jay-Z. Somebody had a full hatred for everything Jay-Z's ever done. They had a breakdown of everything he's done and the positive of it for him and the negative of the person that was affected. When I read it, I didn't know it was going to be a topic. And like I was just sending it because I was like, damn, it is kind of right. But what are you going to do? That's who he is. And that's what he has continued to do. But it was just so, so detailed and stuff. And I'm sorry, Killer. What was your comment when I sent it?
My comment was, what good.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah.
You need to let people know what we're talking about.
So basically, it's one of these Instagram things, I guess, one of these posts where a guy writes in and he lists Jay-Z accomplishments for Jay-Z. So some of the comments were he left Dame Dash at Def Jam, left him and Biggs out to dry, you know, who he married, all the particular deals, then left Brooklyn to dry and get gentrified after he took his money out of the Nets deal. All these things that was sort of interpersonal with Jay and his business dealings. Okay. I said to myself, the person who wrote that, and I said this back to Igri, I was like, you know, what good is this? What good is this post? I mean, clearly he's not in favor of Hove, and I understand being on that side of it, but only through his music. Only through his music. I mean, I was on Hove's ass when Blueprint 3 dropped. I mean, it was sickening. But through music, him personally and how he conducted his personal life, I mean, there's no cautionary tale there because he is successful. Are you telling me that he didn't, what I would argue with the person who wrote the post, are you telling me that he didn't make the right decision? He made the right decision. Get blowing past Dame and Biggs and just, you know, leaving them niggas, you know, high and dry. That was the right fucking decision. Again, him as a businessman, nobody's going to have the moral fortitude of Martin Luther King, and hell, and he was a human being himself. So that being said, you know, you're talking about
slander.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Maybe after your comment, I was like, well, maybe it's a precautionary tale to people in the future, but I mean, who the fuck is Jay going to deal with now besides the other billionaires?
Yeah, okay, then of course, if you looked right under those comments where somebody was a Hov supporter and who was like, yo, when the Baltimore rebellion was going on and the rebellion in Ferguson, Jay-Z dispatched mad lawyers and paid for a lot of funerals and got people out of jail. So, I mean,
Is that the equivalent? No, I'm you know, I said this was no argument, honestly, but now I'm just being facetious and the devil's advocate. So are those little things like air conditioners or turkeys at Thanksgiving for Jay-Z?
No, I'm just asking. Okay, I'm gonna add this. I'm gonna say no because he didn't make an announcement about it with these niggas doing turkeys at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. He just did it, and other people, you know what? Damn, now that I'm sitting here talking about it, my mind just went a whole different route. And I'm going to go ahead and get it out of here before I leave it, before I lose it. Why? It must be great to be Hov and B. Because these niggas ain't got to say a fucking thing. And everybody speaks for them. Everybody has an opinion for them. Everybody makes up their mind for them. Everybody thinks everything that they did and they plan it out for them. Them niggas ain't said a word, but you know, you got a million niggas that's going to either defend them or fucking go against them. But they ain't spoke. You hear two words from neither one of these niggas. It must be great to live in that world where you ain't got to say shit and somebody else is going to speak for you. Because we here having a conversation about Jay-Z, who you're probably never going to hear two words from about any of this shit, even Dame, about anything that happened in his life. But we're going to be arguing, niggas been arguing for years and putting words in Jay-Z's mouth, saying what Jay-Z, how he felt about this, that, and the third. Ob said that must be the best life on the planet to never have to speak a word and still be as famous as they are without niggas bringing you down. Because if niggas try to bring him down, guess what? It's going to be niggas trying to lift him back up and say, nigga, you can't say shit about Beyonce. Nigga, talk about Jay-Z. Nigga, look what he did. Why are you worried about what he did to Dame and what he did to Biggs and what he did to this nigga, that nigga? Look what he did for these people. And them niggas ain't got to come out and speak for themselves at all. That is a wonderful life. I wish I could live that damn life, but I couldn't because my mouth is going to get me in trouble every single time. I'm going to speak for my damn self. But anyway, back to the topic. That wasn't even a rant. It's just, to me, that's an observation that I've seen over the years. Like, damn, that's crazy. These niggas don't say shit, but everybody's nothing. Always talking about them and speaking for them. I'm like, wow, that's a wonderful life to have to live. But anyway, back to the topic. Jay-Z, to me, it's just like any other person, as I just said what I just said. It's just like any other person. He's going to go through shit, and especially being in the spotlight. Niggas is going to come at you in different ways, and you're going to respond and do what you do. To me, at first, I was 100% down with Jay-Z because I loved his music. And so I was like Jay-Z. I was Jay-Z's lawyer on this damn show. You know, I'm a Jay-Z nigga. I defend this nigga, defend him. I was one of them niggas I was just talking about. He had to say a word, I'm going to talk for him. So then I got to a point of I'm starting to see shit happen to people, and I'm hearing niggas like Dame talk, and I'm hearing niggas like Beans talk, and I'm hearing other niggas like the Young Guns talk, and niggas, what's the other nigga from? Petey Crack talk. And I'm like, is Jay-Z really that good of a perking person? I'm thinking, I don't really like this nigga that much. Look at how he fucked these people over. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to go in my mind as that. Like, damn, he fucked these people. All them niggas ain't lying about this nigga. You know what I'm saying? He's probably fucked some people over. So I went to that stage. So when I see niggas like doing what this article did of one nigga saying that Jay is this, 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 and that, he just chose a side to me. He chose a side, and he's on the side of this nigga Jay-Z is dirt and just dirt forever. Because look what he did to these people. For me, I'm in the spot where Jay-Z, I'm going to put him in where he's supposed to be at. He's just a man out here living his damn life. And he's going to make decisions based on whatever comes up on him.
I think things like this happen because entertainers and athletes occupy a space in which they shouldn't, especially in the black community, especially from us. The fact that Jay, and he ain't the only one, Jay occupies a space of leadership. Jay occupies a space of look at him. I mean, for the most part, he's just the entertainer, and then pretty much transition from entertainer to businessman. My God, if you put Fortune 500 CEOs under the same microscope as that nigga,
ooh, it'd be worse.
Oh, my God.
Problems.
Find out the fucking shit that they done.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, I don't, for me, and I repeat this, I was on Jay ass from a music standpoint because I couldn't understand, as rich as he already was and clearly as talented as he is, why is he making his horse shit? From a musical standpoint, I just couldn't understand that. You know what I'm saying? But that was the musical standpoint. From his personal life, don't give a flying. Even from his, you know, people, he let Brooklyn get gentrified.
Brooklyn was going to get gentrified
anyway.
What.
Exactly.
He just took advantage of the situation.
Exactly. So, that's what I see. I think Jay's problem is the fact that, and it's a crucible that he's not the only one who carries it, but that entertainers, and we talked about this before when I named the two African-American damn near trillionaires that you never heard their names. OK, but then you hear a lot of other, you know, Michael Jordan, Jay-Z, billionaire niggas. But you didn't hear about the two African-Americans who are almost trillionaires. You know what I mean? They don't have that same level of fame, you know, with eyes and criticisms coming at them. So, nah, I ain't mad at Jay.
I want to put an asterisk on what Kurt said about that being a great life, but you have to, here's the asterisk, you have to think about how secluded they are from real life. Nothing that they do is not scrutinized or talked about or whatever. And I don't know. I'm not him and I'm not them, but I think I'd rather be the Jay-Z that was running around state property and all of that shit. Rockefeller. I'd rather be that Jay-Z than the Jay-Z who is
right,
museum.
Right. I get what you're saying, but the thing is, you ask, they don't have to say shit. I get the point.
That
of,
part, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to say a fucking word. Everybody's going to speak for them, going to say what they think they should be saying or what they think they're going to say or would have said if they actually spoke. So they don't have to say a word, and niggas is going to continue to keep talking about them. And so their level just keeps and rising up and up, and the legend just grows
there. But if you think about that, if you think about what you said about him not having to say anything, I bet Jay himself would just be one, would love to be the two African-American almost trillionaires that nobody knows their name. I think that's where he would want to be.
But only way he could have gotten there is by not doing what he did. He was in the spotlight by being a rapper and being as famous as he was as a rapper. So he would have never gotten to that point without being there.
Yeah, look, first of all, there's moves that he made, number one, that he couldn't have predicted him just being an MC when he started. He couldn't have predicted that. But then, of course, marrying who he marries. I mean, you're not going to marry her and not be subject to, you know, telephoto lenses and shit. You know what I mean? That's that Princess Di shit. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It's that Bobby Brown shit.
Whatever. Whatever. I'm just saying. But I bet a million times, because we rarely hear from the brother, that he would like to be, you know, the trillionaire that nobody knows my name.
Oh, yeah. Hindsight. Of course you would. Who wouldn't want to be that person?
Right.
So, no doubt. Hey, I got a freestyle topic.
Oh, shit.
We was in Vegas. I was in Vegas. And, we had a long talk with a ex, how do I put that? He's still a Hip Hop Digest junkie. I'm gonna say his name. I wanted to present him in a positive light. He's still a Hip Hop Digest junkie, but he does not get down with the text chain for his own personal reasons. Shout out to
Bulgari Black, Tiff. The name, the list goes on. I mean, Bulgari's the one that, we had the
Bulgari Black. He's the one Diff, that talked about. Who else don't mess with the chain no more? D Thor don't mess with the chain no more. So I want to give a shout out to our long lost brothers. And part of the reason, or at least Bulgari Black, and I think D Thor as well, got out of the chain was off of that, foundational Black Americans shit, off of that Nasheem. What was his name? Nasheem. Goddamn, I can't think of his name.
I ain't getting in it.
I've been in it and I ain't in it.
Anyway, but that was off of his documentary. And my disapproval of the documentary. And he hit me right on the head. He was like, damn, B, I got to ask you a question. You criticizing the documentary, but you didn't even see it. And I said to him, and I said, well, no, I copped to it immediately. I was like, I don't really have to see the documentary. I know enough hip hop history to kind of know where I stand. I don't believe that he discovered anything new. And I told him,
you still got to see it to say that. No, it's his point.
And I told him, I'm basing my opinion on two clips. The part I saw Grandmaster Cash in the LL Cool J documentary, that 5-part documentary where he take LL to the place where Cool Herc and where it started, and was like Herc this, Herc that. And then seeing another clip off the Nasheem, I can't think of his name.
Is it Coates?
No. Anyway, off of that documentary where he was downplaying Herc.
Same person.
Grandmaster Caz.
Yeah, see, I don't like shit like
that. Well, no, I was saying.
That's that shit he don't like.
That's that shit I don't like. Yeah, like, if you down, then be down. If you really feel a certain way, then feel that way. Don't be flip-flopping.
But what I think the documentary did to those veterans is present them a question in the light of a racial context. You know what I'm saying? Was it us? Was it the brothers? Was it niggas? Was it Spanish niggas? I think that's how it was presented. You know, but I think that's how it was presented. Now, shout to Bagari Black. What I want to do is swerve, hit him, and give my address.
Yeah, we'll get that taken care of. It should have been taken care of already.
No doubt. But I'm saying hit him, give my address, because I'm going to burn the dock.
No, you're not going to do that.
We're not going to burn anything here, brother. What do you mean, burning weed, incense? What are you talking about burning, brother?
Well, y'all,
what are we burning here?
Well, y'all paranoid and shit.
Okay.
So, I got to admit, Swerve, you know what I'm saying? You caught me in all kinds of pleas, staying out of it. And then you're a dude.
No. No, I'm talking about that fucking name, whatever. Whoever wrote it, whoever did the video, it's not important.
I think his name is Tariq Nasheed, I think.
Okay.
I think that's his name.
Respected him, but until I see it, then I don't want to have any preconceived ideas. But,
right, that's the way I felt about it, too.
So what I will say, and I will cop to, is that when he talked about his lack of participation, because he still says he peeps in, but his lack of participation as well as others, for whatever your reason was, and you know, I'm not going to bring up reasons, but for whatever your reason was, then that's you, because it's not like whatever it is that caused you to go away, it's killed the text chain. It hasn't killed it. We all, each individual, make the content in there. And if there's something that you don't agree with or approve of, then you don't have to be a part of it. And it's not like we are all going to agree all the time anyway. And if, you know, there have been some hot and heavies up in there, right? And not everybody gets involved. Some people just sit there. What they used to call them, lurkers, back in the day when the internet first was doing this shit. You call them lurking. So people just, you know, come on there for whatever reason. But, you know, yeah, we got to get back to our Wednesdays and Friday things, or Tuesdays, whatever. You got to get back to these things. But without the people that contribute whatever it is, commentary in there, then it's a waste. It's a fail. And I don't think you should not participate because you don't agree with or appreciate an opinion of somebody else. You don't have to pay attention to that. You can either engage or not, but that doesn't mean still can't contribute.
It's hard for some people to do that. And you know, and again, I respect his opinion, because he was like, you know, he felt that the text chain was a really special place to sort of dwell in some real hip hop, and he didn't want interlopers in there, you know what I'm saying, just throwing gasoline in there and then just, you know, smoking up the place. I get it. I'm sorry. I want to just go back to that. I'm not a historian like that. I'm pretty good on my hip hop history. I'm just saying, B. I stand pat. And I can be wrong. And I'm not saying that he won't introduce one or two names or some facts, because there's plenty of names. There's plenty of names that regular people, and this is, I guess, what I'll do. His cautionary tale was that he didn't want others to take over hip hop history, and that he had an issue with Fat Joe and his sort of what he was saying about what Puerto Ricans did in hip hop, you know, sort of like they half invented this shit. That's his opinion, and I respect that. But
that's whose opinion?
That was Bagari's opinion about how he was sort of, it was the Fat Joe thing, and he was like, nah, next thing you know, we're going to have people taking over. And I cautioned him, again, through hip-hop history, is that, again, because most people don't even know the basic history. So I'm just saying, I've seen Hell Rail on one of those YouTube shorts. And it was a young boy podcast, some random podcast. I'm just flipping through the shorts, and Hell Rail was going off on Lear Cohen and saying it was Lear Cohen who broke up Public Enemy after the Jewish situation. He got Griff out of there and he broke up. And then he was like, then he broke up EPMD, and then was running down the facts on that. Now, how much of that was 100% true? But the young boy was like, whoa, wait a minute. That was, wait a minute, before my time. The fact that he didn't know who Public Enemy and EPMD was a problem. So all this, somebody else taking over history, I ain't saying you got to know the backstory about with Lee R. Cohen and the Dirt. But you got to know who Public Enemy is. You got to know who EPMD is. It's just not to know who they are. Just know who they are. I'm not saying you got to know the discography and recite the lyrics or whatever, because if a cat like me can sit up here and talk about the most ignorant ass Young Thug YU Scooty shit and cover throughout the years Keith Chief and all the next little young or the next little nut nigga who come along, you know what I'm saying? That's how the history can continue. You know what I'm saying? I may not know the 100% music. I may not know the backstory. But I know enough about trap. I know enough about drill. I know enough about hyphy. I know enough about crunk. I could go on and on and on and on. Enough to know. Enough where I'm securing a perspective of history. Okay?
Well, that's what makes the text chain the place to be. Because, again, somebody could come in there and talk about all the Atlanta rappers they want to, or all the Daytona rappers they want to. If it's interesting to you, then you might, what Bill Cosby used to say on the Fat Albert show, you might learn. You just might learn something. Or you might just teach somebody else something. So, and the Hip Hop Digest text chain has not suffered at all as far as hip hop integrity, in my opinion. It's still a high level hip hop.
That's a matter of opinion. On what people, because people come into things for different reasons, and when they get there, maybe like you said, we had the snare slap Saturdays and the whatever that was, Friday mixes and Wednesday 45 Wednesday or whatever day that was.
It was 45 Fridays,
12 inch Wednesday. See, there you go. But it was stuff we was doing that made it at a level where nobody else is doing this type of shit. So if people coming in like, oh, this is pure hip-hop shit. This is what we're here for. I love this type of shit. You know, so, and then once that goes and you start to talk about other shit that they ain't really interested in, we talking about the Young Thugs and the other type of shit, like, nigga, this ain't hip-hop. Why y'all niggas talking about these motherfuckers?
Yeah, but you ain't
What happened to 12-inch Wednesday?
I guess for me, I don't have to like that shit. And you know I don't like
That's the shit I don't like.
You know what I mean? But I feel it was important at least to command somewhat of the lay of the land. Somewhat. You know what I'm saying? I've often asked questions. Like, I was like, well, would you consider, for those people who do that, who follow that, would be the modern day father of trap music from a producer perspective? I mean, I can name producers. I can off the cuff. Oh, was it Mike Will? You know what I'm saying? You know, Toomp. Was it? I can name producers. You know, whatever. Where did the modern day L.A. sound come from? What's that? Mustard? Is it Mustard's the man? I mean, I can name niggas like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not an aficionado as I am under my era. So I'm willing to learn. I still ain't got to like it, but I'm willing to command the facts. So ultimately,
I feel you about the young boy. He should know his history, but you know how this shit is. If you want to hide something from a nigga, put it in a book, B.
So my point being, and I'll get out of this topic, but my point being with the documentary, I'm willing to watch it. I'm pretty good on my history. I think he has a personal agenda he wants to forward. I think it's bull. You know what I'm saying? But I'm willing to watch the documentary if there's information that I don't know. But you know how I am. I'll be like, yo, I didn't know X, Y, and Z, this, that, and the third. No problem. You know, just because I didn't agree with that Founding Fathers documentary. I learned a lot of names, and I learned that they were actually DJs, but given the time frame that they DJed and where they DJed from, a lot of them motherfuckers sound like just pissed niggas that they could have been in the spot and they could have been Herc. They just sound pissed to me. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't denote that they did spin and that they weren't in the park. And most of them were downtown and were discoing at smaller discos, or at least in their project building at the time. You know what I mean? But, you know.
That's life, B. Everybody is not going to get the spotlight. There were plenty of people that refused to get in the back of the bus. But Rosa Parks became the face of that movement.
I think that's a bad analogy because...
How's that a bad analogy? I'm just saying that there's plenty of people that have done stuff that did it before somebody. There's probably plenty of players that were better than Michael Jordan that never made it to the league for whatever reason, for thuggery shit, or just because they fucking just didn't get a shot. You know what I'm saying? So it's different reasons why people are where they're at, and there's always going to be somebody that did it first that didn't get no recognition for it.
Okay. So, like, when people get in the text chain and we ask them, who's your favorite MC?
Right.
And even if it's a personal cat, so I'm going to drop a name. And this was the beatbox era, but this particular person did things on the beatbox that I never heard Buff from the Fat Boys, rest in peace, that I never heard Jock Box from the Skinny Boys, that I never heard Rozzill do to this day. Shout out to Leonard Kynard. I heard him do things with on the beatbox to this day. If he lived in Brooklyn, he might be Dougie Fresh. But he didn't live in Brooklyn. But it is still some of the most amazing things I ever heard somebody do to beatbox. And that was him. It's personal. You know what I'm saying? Now, would Len Rock get on a documentary? He's like, oh, Buffy and them niggas, you know, compared to me, them niggas is garbage. Are you fucking kidding me? Sit down. No, you can't make that claim. And that's how I felt the Founding Fathers documentary, kind of that sort of trajectory of that documentary went. But I did learn a lot of names, and it filled in some blanks, you know. For me, I did learn something off the documentary. Shout out to Chuck D, who narrated the whole thing. But, you know. So, all right. I'm making a long point.
Again. No. Long point. To end that long point, what you just said ties into, again, what the text chain is about. It's not about... It's, you know, it's obviously for the hip-hop that we talk about and people like us talk about. But at the same time, there is nothing wrong with... And I'm saying this because I'm going to live with it. There's nothing wrong with learning something else. And if you don't want to learn, you don't have to pay attention to it.
All right. That's
we had me with my finger on the button a few times on a few things. And you guys talked me out of it and put me in a state of mind. We're like, yeah, you're right. Now, why am I caring about that? So I know Kurt said that ain't how people are, but you should just open up your brain a little bit. And if that's not what you want to do, then just contribute. Just over contribute. It's okay.
All right. That's what's up. So, like I said, hook my man up, you know, give him the deal. So we can
talk about that.
Yes, indeed. Because I can't wait.
Can't wait.
No doubt. All right. Does anybody got any other next topics?
I think Kurt is about ready to go ahead and talk about that other bus. Choked him up.
I'd expect the bus to be coming from your side.
All the way from Vegas.
You're right. I said, damn, that bus took a long time to get here, but it got here. All right, that bus would be this nigga here ain't got no albums.
All right,
I've been out the mix for some time here. Okay. I've been doing other shit.
So we're gonna give him a pass. He's on his anniversary. You know, he's a hard working man. I get it, me and Kurt G. You know, we worked that flip shift. So
we worked that night shift.
You know that. So anyway, but shout to him. So shout to Peter and Matt, the digital freaks,
the people that are supposed to do what they do
lyrically.
Lyrically,
they supposed to represent who totally keep the text chain awash in new music, Peter and Matt is indispensable. So first of all,
Fridays are crazy.
Let me try and tell you, crazy. Niggas
flood the market.
Exactly.
I'm surprised them niggas didn't hit me with, nigga, why you keep asking us for albums? Just go on there and pick one.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, that's why they're the Digital Freaks. So Digital Freaks albums of the week, go in.
All right, this week brought to you by Matt is Blue Azul Deja Blue. That's Blue Azul Deja Blue. And then brought to you by Pete. It's West Side Gun, Hills Have Eyes 2. West Side Gun, Hills Have Eyes 2.
I actually listened to that.
Why does that not surprise me?
Right, you know he fucks with them niggas over there.
Actually, but I did listen to that. West Side is a very interesting individual, I gotta say.
He's just funny, B.
He's a very interesting individual. And before we get out, I will do, some notable passings of note here. I want to say rest in peace to, and am I pronouncing this right? Asada Shakur. Is that right? Because, yep. You know, my pronunciation is not.
Got that one.
Yeah, exactly. She was a member of the Black Panther Party, also the Black Liberation Army. She was a fugitive in the 1980s, apparently, according to the copy here. There was a robbery, I guess, and they got into an entanglement with the New Jersey State Trooper, a shootout in which the trooper died. She was found guilty of said murder, and her people broke her out of prison in 1979, if you can believe that. The FBI and the state of New Jersey both put $1 million on her head, but she escaped to Cuba. Those of you who may recognize the last name, the connection to Tupac, she was his Tupac's step aunt. Was Tupac's godmother and his step aunt, because I guess her brother married Tupac's mom. So that's the relational situation right there. But Tupac also says that he was a huge influence on his life. Because obviously that was his relative. So she passed away in Cuba, and we want to say rest in peace to her. I tell you what, I don't know if there's any black radicals like that nowadays.
There are, but you just ain't going
to. Right, exactly. Okay. In this day and time, it's hard to be radical.
Indeed.
And not be noticed.
Indeed. I got you. All right. And we also want to say rest in peace, and this is more of a personal situation, to Ron Carroll. Ron Carroll was a house music vocalist, DJ, and producer. Obviously, he's from Chicago, Illinois. Ron, a lot of big room records. Shout out to Kerr G, you know what that's all about.
Exactly.
A lot of big room records. He worked with, everybody else in the industry, the Louis Vegas, the Missy Elliott, the Frankie Knuckles, that type of stuff, Barbara Tucker. He was a singer, songwriter, DJ. He was a jack of all trades. If you really want to know, my favorite record from him is Hard Soul featuring Ron Carroll called Back Together. So if you really want to know what's up, he died, unfortunately, of a heart attack. He was a young man. I think he was like 57, 58. He died of a heart attack. So shout out to Ron Carroll, one of Chicago's finest. No doubt about that. Again, look up Back Together, Hard Soul featuring Ron Carroll. That's my favorite record that he's ever done. So we say rest in peace to those two individuals. Thank you for what you've given us.
No doubt. And I'm going to add a little bit of comedy on that, because when you said that Mr. Kaur was involved in an entanglement with the police, in back of my brain I heard, keep my wife's name.
Well, let me tell you, it was a little bit more than an entanglement, because she got into a shootout with the New Jersey State Troopers.
That's light, considering what happened. That is very light.
Right, that was no entanglement.
No,
and the fact that the federal government and the New Jersey state officials gritted their teeth for over 50 years looking for this woman.
But they knew where she was at. They knew where she was at, but she was no threat. So they let her stay where she was at.
Yeah, well, Fidel wasn't letting that happen.
So
you remember Mr. Castro.
He was not letting that happen. I'm just saying, if they really wanted her, they could have got her.
Oh, well, the infamous they will always do whatever they want to do.
Exactly.
All right, so that's what's up. Thank you for riding with us. No real hard body topics, just a freestyle conversational type show. Indeed. And when we get back in, we'll get back in, and hopefully we'll have some homework for ya.
Yeah, no travel for a little bit.
All right.
All right, good night. Thank you for riding. Peace.
Holla.
One.